don't know about you, but I am stirred up. I know last night we had the privilege in Mayville to have Pastor Michael Leketic, the founding pastor of the Family Churches, was ministering in Mayville last night. And I don't know if any of you were in there, I left changed. And this morning I woke up and I had this renewed dedication and this renewed love for the Lord. And we're going to have that service posted on our archives in the Mayville, on the Mayville, fcmayville.org. We're going to have that posted by Monday evening. We'll have that up and running. But I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning and I said, Lord, I love you so much. I want to spend the day with you. I love it. I was like, I just want more and more and more of you. I went to bed a little bit late last night, but I woke up bright and early, and the first, you know, hour or two of my day, I just got before the Lord and I just started praising him. I love you, Lord. I praise you. I love you. And I don't know, but all day long, he's been right there with me. And so I came here and I'm hungry and I'm excited. So I invite you all to just jump in. I invite you all to get excited. You know, tonight's going to be more of a teaching message. You know, there's different offices, there's different gifts in the ministry. And the Lord has called me as a teacher, and I'm thankful for that. That's the way I flow. But I believe if you hook up, if you don't consider it, you know, it may not be a fiery, jump up and down, me yelling at you kind of message, right? But I believe if you hook up, you're going to leave here changed. And I encourage you to take notes. I always encourage you to take notes, because if the Lord speaks something to your heart specifically when you're in a service, take notes, write it down. And you know what I do? I put it in parentheses. I'll take notes about the service, and then in parentheses, I'll put things that the Lord specifically talked to me about. A sentence, a word, something that the Lord specifically dealt with my heart about. I'm just sharing that with you because it helped me to grow in the things of the Lord. So, well, tonight we're going to talk about the three-part nature of man. Oh, I'm excited for this. The three-part nature of man. And, you know, I was studying this out and refreshing myself on this, you know, and I realized that most people, most Christians, a lot of Christians don't even know that what our makeup is, you know, and we're going to know, we're going to leave here and we're going to know, we're going to have true Bible knowledge about the three-part nature of man. And if you didn't know, that's us, the three-part nature of us. So go ahead and turn in your Bible to Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1, it's real easy to find. When I first started reading the Bible, and I was an atheist and got saved and got a Bible in front of me, I didn't know where to start, so I started in Genesis because it was the very beginning. I didn't quite understand it, didn't hear any of those names before, didn't know what I was doing, but I got in there. So Genesis is real easy to find. I found it as an atheist. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." I want to turn your attention to this word, our. Let us make man in our image. Well, God said this. So who's God talking about if God's one being? So right here is our first, in the very beginning of the Bible, the very first book, it's telling us that God is more than one person. God himself is more than one person. He says, let us make man in our image, okay? In our image means in our resemblance. It means in our likeness, okay? So it means that how God is, we are like that. Man was made to be like God, not to be God, but to be like God. So it means similarity. It means a parallel. So we're going to see that parallel here tonight. So we're going to take a walk through Scripture. We're going to go to the New Testament, and I'll have you turn to 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7. God is a three-part nature. He's made up of three distinct beings. That's what he was talking about when he said, let's make man in our image. Okay, three-part being. So 1 John 5:7. And here we see the three parts. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. The Word here is Jesus. In the Scripture, we see Jesus is the Word. He was Word in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word here is talking about Jesus. So we've got three: the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You hear other people say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. Yeah. Most people have heard of the Trinity, but most people don't understand that we are made in that parallel. Yeah. We are also a Trinity, okay? We're not a divine Trinity, but we're a Trinity.
Yeah.
All right, and I just want to show you, because Scripture, we don't ever want to make doctrine or build doctrine or teach on one Scripture. We always want to teach where we see it again and again in the Word.
Right.
So Matthew 28:19 is just telling us this again. Actually, we can pull that up. Just pull it up. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, Jesus, the Word, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So just Scripture tells you about Scripture. It's just confirming Scripture.
Yeah.
So we've got here, let us make man in our image. It's talking about in the image of the Trinity. And so we, God, has three co-equal parts. He speaks about himself. He's the Father. And we also have three equal parts. So here's God. God the Father, he's the creator of everything. We know that. God created everything, the universe and everything in it. He created us, everything inside of us, everything that we put our hand to. He created it all. And then there's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's also known as the Word of God, or Logos, right? The spoken word. And Jesus came as God in man form, right? God in a physical human body on earth.
That's right.
And then there's the Holy Ghost, or God in spirit. His spirit form, who comes to live on the inside of every born-again believer. Okay, so those are the three parts of God. Let's go ahead and see our parallel here. Oh, let's talk about our parallel. You can get ready. You don't have to pull it up yet, but go ahead and get ready with 1 Thessalonians. You can start turning there. So we are like God. We are made up of three parts. Now, we are a spirit. We are spirit made. God created our spirit before any part of us was ever formed. Our spirit was first, right? Our spirit is the most important part. We're going to see that. So we are a spirit. We have a mind, or we have a soul, and we live in a body. Our body is our shell. It's the shell for our spirit and our soul. And that's the three-part nature of man that parallels the three-part nature of God. So we are a spirit. If you want to write this down, we are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. So three-part nature. You know, I was thinking about this. So many people, they go out and they spend hundreds of dollars, maybe even thousands of dollars, trying to, like, track down their ancestors. There's, like, Ancestry.com. There's all these different, I'm not knocking that stuff, but there's, like, all these different sources. People go to Ellis Island. They try to find their roots. They try to find out what they're made up of. DNA testing, they try to figure out what's in their blood. But most people live and die and never know what they were truly made of.
Yeah,
three parts. Three parts that God designed us with. It's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe you've never heard anything like this before. Maybe you have. But just think about it. You know, don't you like to know where you came from?
Yeah.
I sure do. I like the thought of, you know, where did I come from? And I know, according to the Word, where I came from.
That's right.
So 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Here we go. This is going to tell us, it's going to confirm what I just said, the three-part nature of man. Now, may the God of peace himself, I love that. We could teach a whole message about that, but that's not the topic tonight. But the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a spirit, soul, and body. And the heart of God is that all three parts of us would be preserved blameless.
Yeah.
That all three parts of us would be living for the Father, living
right.
for higher
right.
things.
Right.
Our hearts and our minds and our bodies all living in accordance with righteousness and the things of God. That's his heart. That's what it means there. So let's talk about the Spirit. So the Spirit here, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing, of course, an inspiration from the Holy Ghost, because this is after Jesus came and left and the Holy Spirit was delivered to mankind. So this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing with utterance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, literally, is the breath of life within us. It is the vital part of us that makes us truly and eternally alive. Our spirits are the true us. They're the true us. They're the ones who will live eternally and the part of us that fellowships with the Father. See, a lot of people think that you can spend time with God just by sitting in church. That's not fellowshipping with the Father. A lot of people think you can just think about God and that's fellowshipping with the Father, but He wants to communicate with our spirits, with the inner man, with the true us. He created this true us. It's our spirit. I love that, the vital part of us,
right.
The vital part of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" The Holy Spirit, that spirit is in us, dwelling within our spirit, our born-again spirit, if we're born again. "Whom you have from God," the Holy Spirit comes from God, "and you are not your own." See, we're not our own. We were created a spirit being, and when Jesus came and He died for us and we had the free gift of salvation given to us, it was so that our spirit could be renewed, reborn.
That's right.
And so the Holy Ghost could come live on the inside of our reborn spirit. The soul is also known as the mind. This is the seat of feelings, desires, affections. Our soul allows us to think and experience emotions. When we get born again, our mind is not born again. How many of you know your mind needs to be renewed all the time? Scripture tells us our mind needs to be renewed. Our mind isn't born again. Just because you get saved doesn't mean all of a sudden all your language is cleared up. Doesn't mean that everything you've ever done wrong, you stop doing it instantly. It doesn't mean that all you do is think about the things of God instantly, right? There's a lot that we've got to get in line with our mind after our spirits have already been made new. And the Bible tells us we need to renew our minds, and we need to do the renewing. So if you came here tonight, you're getting renewed. The Word of God can renew your mind tonight if you let it. And let's talk about the third part here, the body. We know the body. We're quite familiar with our bodies, aren't we? I think we mostly are familiar with our bodies because they're the physical part of us. They're the part that has the five senses, right? We can see, we can feel, we can smell in two ways. We can be smelly. That's the body. That's all related to the body. This is where our spirits live. This is our flesh and our bones. This is where we take, the true us, the spirit being, takes up residency or lives when we're here on the earth, okay? So God said, He wouldn't have said there's three parts of you and He wishes or He prays or He desires that they would be presented blameless, all three parts, at the coming of the Lord if we didn't need to know about them. See, God's word is never written in vain. He doesn't tell us something for no reason.
Right.
But I want to also notice, let's pull that scripture back up, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I want to show you and draw your attention to something here, too. I believe the Word of God is laid out perfectly, that God intended it to
be
written the way it was.
That's right.
And I believe that there's a ranking here, a hierarchy, okay? He says, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's a hierarchy. Our spirit, that's top dog, or it ought to be. And then our soul, of course, we can spend time with the Word of God in our mind as well. We can renew our mind to the things of God. But our spirit comes first, okay? So I wanted to show you that hierarchy. But we're going to kind of talk about these things backwards. We're going to go, you ever watch those top 10 ugliest animals?
Yeah.
We watch something like that. Top five ugliest animals. And, you know, they start with what's number five, and number one is like the big one, right? The main one. So we're going to do that tonight. We're going to look at the body first, the soul, and then the spirit.
Yeah.
So go ahead and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 3. And when we are born again, our body certainly is not born again. I was born again at 24 years old. I did not get born again physically, right? I look at Sophia. She's how many months old now? 6.5 months old. She'd be pretty hard to be born again right now. Imagine 24 years old. So, of course, it seems like foolishness to think, well, we'd be born again physically. We don't re-enter and re-exit the womb. All right, so let's look at John 3, verse 3. Did you say thank God? Thank the Lord. We don't have to do that. Yeah. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus, if you don't know Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were these religious scholars of the time. They thought they knew all about the things of God, but they didn't, okay? Because they didn't even know and recognize Jesus, which is all over God, and Jesus had God all over him, right? Yeah. So Nicodemus was a naysayer, right? Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So he was like, duh, this doesn't, you're talking silly here. Yeah. You're talking foolishness. That's the devil. Anytime somebody or something comes along and tries to tell you, oh no, that's foolish. The word of God, that's foolishness. Yeah. What you're saying is foolishness. What you're telling me from this word is foolishness. That's the devil, yeah, right? So Nicodemus, he obviously was operating according to the devil, and he was trying to argue and make Jesus seem foolish, which is so foolish, right? So Jesus answered and he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So we know that the part of us that is reborn, the part of us that is born again, is the Spirit. The flesh is not born again. See, our body still acts like a body. Your body probably today wanted to sleep a little longer than you could have. Your body probably today wanted to eat something it probably shouldn't have. Yeah. Your body probably today was calling out for something that wasn't the best for it. Yeah. Your body is all about comfort. It's all about give it to me now. I want it my way. I want it right now. I don't want to wait for it. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to compromise. Yeah. Whatever feels good. Yeah. That's what our body. Don't deprive me of anything. Don't make me stop or go without anything. I want it, and I want it now, right? That's our body's motto. I want it, and I want it now, right? If it was a fast food chain, that would be the motto. Have it your way, right? You know, but not everything, obviously, so let's keep it balanced, right? Not everything your body wants is wrong. My body, you know, was like, right now it's growling a little bit. It's telling me, hey, you probably should eat some dinner. So your body will talk to you. Sometimes it's a good thing that your body, oh, you probably should drink some water. You're going to get dehydrated. You probably should eat some food, you know. You need some energy. You probably should get some rest. You've stayed up too long. You've been doing too much physical work with your body. Your body will start to hurt and tell you, you know, hey, you got to take it easy a little bit. So not everything your body communicates with you is wrong, obviously. God didn't design us to live in a body so that the body would be everything opposite of him, right? There's some things that are good, but then there's other things that your body will tell you that aren't good. You know, that's where addictions come from. It's the body. The body craves things. You know, if you've given your body something, you know, it could be anything. It could be drugs. It could be sweets. It could be, you know, it could just be your body, you start to become addicted to certain forms of recreation and you can't put them down. I mean, your body will start to crave things. And so some of those things are not good. And so we need to realize how not to feed our flesh too much.
That's right.
If you feed something too much, what does it do? What does it do? It grows. It expands, right? If you feed your body too much, it's going to grow. If you feed anything too much, it's going to grow. So we don't want to feed the part of us the most that is the least according to the hierarchy of God, right? Our body is the least. It's just where we live.
That's
we
right.
need to take care of our body, but we don't want it to dominate our decisions. So if you feed something too much, it becomes way too large and has way too much control.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about, I'm not trying to pick, but my mother-in-law has a little dog named Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
And that Daisy dog, she will snatch things up and she will eat them. She likes peanut butter toast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed her belly's a little bit dragging on the ground sometimes, right? She's a little ham hock, yeah. But, you know, if you fed Daisy too much, if you kept feeding Daisy too much, and she doesn't, she takes care of her dog. But Daisy's belly would drag right there on the floor, and it'll slow her down, right?
Yeah.
What?
Feet
Her feet wouldn't touch the ground. But anyway, that's a picture. It's an illustration of what happens when we give in to our body, our flesh, too much.
Yeah.
Our feet don't touch the ground.
Yeah.
We become unstable. We don't have enough of what of God, and we become unbalanced.
Yeah.
We can't keep up. We're lazy. We're sluggish. We're not going with God. We're not running as fast as we used to. We don't want to feed our flesh too much. It's not a good thing.
That's right.
It's not a good thing. So let's look up here at Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. You can turn there if you want. I love the Word of God. I encourage you to let your fingers do the walking so you know where these scriptures are. You know, I use a device. If you have a hard copy, actual physical book, great. If you've got a device, use that. You know, but we want to make sure that we do the right thing with the temple that we are living in. And that's our body. I beseech you, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that's brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm talking to you, Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies.
Yes.
A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Yes.
You mean a sacrifice is reasonable? You mean I'm supposed to sacrifice? That's reasonable according to the Word of God? Yeah, it's reasonable that you sacrifice the comfort of your flesh. You sacrifice what your body craves so that you can go on and prove what is that holy and acceptable will of God in your life.
Yeah.
That's what that means. It says you sacrifice. You present your body. You take care of it. You know, has it ever happened to you where you're sitting in church? Maybe you're like me. My stomach was growling up here a minute ago. I could have said, I got to stop preaching. I'm going to cut this message short because I am hungry.
Yeah.
I could have done that. I could have said, I want a cookie from out there. Now I'm going to have you all thinking about cookies. Not my intention. But we're going to talk about keeping your mind under. But anyway, I could have said, I'm going to quit preaching and teaching this message because I am hungry. My stomach is growling and I want it. And I want it now. I want what my body wants now. I'm not waiting for it. Or I could say, no, you're going to have to wait, and you'll have that cookie later if I decide you should have that cookie, which I'm going to say no tonight. I'm going to put my flesh under on that cookie because I had a s'more last night. Balance, right? Balance. But you may be in church and your stomach's growling and you're like, I can't even think about anything but what my body wants right now. So you don't hear another word that comes out of my mouth because your stomach growled and all you're thinking about is the food that you want to have. Or what about if you're, you know, a kid in a grocery store? You ever seen this? A kid, I want that candy bar, Mommy. Can I have that candy bar? No. Why? I want it. I want it. I want the candy bar. Please, 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 please. I want the candy bar. And then pretty soon they're on the ground and they're kicking and screaming and crying. And the mom goes, okay, take the candy bar. I used to work in a grocery store. I saw that a lot. Take the candy bar. Just stop whining. We do that with our bodies. Just take it. Take what you want so you can stop whining. I don't want to hear you anymore. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to pay attention to you anymore. So just have whatever you want and then shut up. We do that with our bodies, but it's not going to work because what happens with that child? Next time you're in a grocery store, and now I want that candy bar and I want that bag of chips, and I'm going to cry until I've got it. And I want that candy bar and I want that bag of chips and I want it now, and you're going to give it to me because you don't want me to whine anymore. See, we train our bodies just like we train a child. And we want to train our bodies. We want to present our bodies a living sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 9:27. And you can turn there because the Word of God is good. 1 Corinthians 9:27. The Word confirms the Word. But I, my responsibility, discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Lest, why do I do that? I bring my body into subjection. I keep my body disciplined, lest when I have preached to others, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. See, now, this is the Apostle Paul, and he stood in a ministry office, and he was a leader of other Christians. But this is talking to every one of us, because the Word tells us that we're supposed to go out and make disciples of all the nations. We're supposed to go out and fulfill the Great Commission, every single one of us. But if we don't discipline our bodies, then we become disqualified to tell others they should. How are we going to get other people to live for Jesus if we won't do it ourselves? If they look at us and they see us dragging on our feet off the ground and we're not even balanced because our bodies are too in charge and large and in charge, right? How are we going to show others how to live for Jesus? Yeah. We're not going to.
That's right.
And this likewise is the case, not just about feeding our flesh, but what are we doing in the presence of other people? If we're living just like the world, how is the world going to see a difference? They're not going to.
That's right.
So we may think, you know, you may even start off like, I'm going to reach this person. But pretty soon, the flesh will try to get you to go the way of the world. And you have to decide, am I going to go according to the flesh or am I going to go according to the Spirit?
Amen.
And so we're talking tonight about this because we need to keep these things in priority the way God intended.
That's right.
So these two verses, they tell us the same thing. The choice is ours. We can let the flesh dominate us, or we can dominate the flesh.
Yep.
And so we're going to talk about dominating the flesh. And I understand. I understand the temptation. I get it. I get the temptation. You know, this time of year is an interesting thing. So many people have said to us, how are you going to start a church in, like, right before summer on a Saturday night? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What's wrong with us is the Lord of God. What's right with us is the Lord. The will of God was to start this church. So we said, all right, Lord, we're going to do it. The summer doesn't change the roots establishing in the ground. It doesn't matter if more people are at a barbecue tonight than they are at church. But we're establishing those roots. But people say, well, how are you going to do that? Well, we crucify our flesh. Do you think it's easy? Do you think it's comfortable to come in here and see a couple of people? It's not comfortable on your flesh. It's not comfortable on your mind. But we know according to the Spirit that the Word of God tells us that God doesn't start anything in vain, that God doesn't send you out without equipping you, that God, where you have a church that preaches the Word of God, the people will come. And so that is crucifying our flesh. Now, you may say, well, it's weird to come to a hotel for church. It's weird. It's uncomfortable in my flesh. It's weird to invite people. Where do you go to church? Well, I go to the hotel. It's a little bit uncomfortable in your flesh and your mind. But we put our flesh and we put our mind under because we know what the Spirit is trying to do, right? Jesus was the best example of crucifying the flesh. Jesus did not, contrary to popular belief, Jesus did not have to die on the cross. He could have chosen not to, but he chose to do it for us. He had to die on the cross for us to be saved, but he did not physically have to do it.
That's right.
He could have said, Daddy, I'm not doing it. I am not doing it. My flesh is going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to be in pain. Most of them are sinners anyway. They all are. They all will sin at some point. They don't like me. They spit at me. They want to persecute me. I don't want to give them this. He could have said, he could have let his flesh take over. No, I don't want to hurt. He could have let his mind take over, but he didn't. He's the best example we have of crucifying the flesh. Well, praise the Lord. You know, and then let's pull up. There's two scriptures that say the same thing. You can write down the reference. Matthew 26:41 and Mark 14:38. Let's just pull up Matthew 26:41. I just like to show you the Word of God again and again says the same thing. This is how we crucify our flesh.
Yeah.
Watch and pray. That means spend time communicating with God. If you're talking to God, if you're spending time with Him, you're going to have an easier time keeping your flesh under.
That's right.
If you're wasting time doing everything but talking to God, then your flesh is going to control you. It will control you.
That's right.
Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Look at this word lest. We saw it before. We see it again. This, when you see that word in Scripture, it means warning, warning, warning. Pay attention here. There's a big sign. There's a barrier. Caution. Don't go through this. Make sure you do the first part. Stay in the first part so you don't end up in the second part.
That's right.
There's a bridge being torn out on our road. There's barriers. Watch out. If you keep going, you're going down a ditch. If you keep going, you're going to be in trouble.
Yep. Yeah.
Stay on solid ground here. That's what this is saying.
Yeah.
Watch and pray.
That's good.
There's the solid ground. There's where you keep your flesh under. Because if you don't, if you break through that barrier and let the flesh rule you, you've entered into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Spirit indeed is willing. The true you that God created, the true you on the inside wants time with God, wants what God wants. But the flesh says, no, do it this way. Nope, lest you enter into temptation. So we need to learn that the flesh is self-destructive overall, and the flesh wants instant satisfaction, instant gratification, and we need to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. You know what? Why don't you go ahead and pull Mark 14:38 up? Let's just read it again, because here it is in another one. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. That was twice in Scripture, two different accounts saying the same exact thing. Well, praise the Lord. Let's look at the soul, the mental realm, the mind, the intellect. 1 Peter 2:11. So the flesh is self-destructive. The flesh wants what it wants. The mind is real similar, and that the mind will try to take over as well. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. When our body is tempted, it tries to make our mind want to go to those things. That's what it's saying. Our lusts, our fleshly desires, our cravings, those things war against the soul. They fight against our mind. And we, this pilgrims here, it means our spirits, we're not meant to live on this earth forever. So that's what he's addressing here. That you're right here, you're a pilgrim. You're not from here, you're not of earth. Someday you're not even going to be here. So I beg you, you're not even part of this. So let's not let the earthly desires take over. Let's keep going. Romans 12:2. So our soul is our mind and is not born again, just as our body is not born again. You know, and I'll prove this to you. When you got saved, did you need to learn how to tie your shoe again?
No.
How come? Because aren't the mental faculties what allows us to tie our shoe? Yes, it coordinates with our hands, but you have to think about how to do it.
Sure.
Well, how come we didn't have to learn to do that again? Because our mind was not reborn. We didn't become a baby in your mind. And that is good in some ways and bad in others. Because your mind wants to fight against the things of God. Your mind wants to keep doing what you've always done. And your mind works hand in hand with your body. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed. You do not be conformed. You do not choose to conform to this world. But you choose to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can say this. You renew your mind so you don't conform to the world. You renew your mind so you transform yourself into the image and likeness of God. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We know this, that God has a good, okay, I'm good with that. I'm good here. You're not out there doing anything terrible. Or I accept it, what you're doing, but there's a perfect will of God. That's the Jeremiah 29:11 plan for your life. That's the perfect will of God. But you have to choose not to conform. You have to choose to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we have a very good understanding in this world. I have my master's degree. I went to college for 7 years. And I have a very good understanding of how to renew and learn something with my mind. I get it. I get that if I read enough, I'm going to learn something. I get that if I physically do things enough, I'm going to learn something. I get that. You get that. You know that if you ever went to school in kindergarten, you learned your alphabet. In kindergarten, you learned a little basic math. We understand in the world how to put things into our mind.
That's right, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with feeding our mind good things. But we need to be careful about feeding our mind the things of the world. You know, the world is all about lust. The world is all about sin. The world is interested in anything that's opposite the word of God, really. The world will have movies. I mean, we went to New York City back in October, and it was like billboard after billboard after billboard of material things, which aren't always bad, but you know what I'm saying. Buy this, buy this, buy this. Naked women, naked people all over. The world is filled with X-rated, R-rated, trashy things. And we could be tempted, you know, vulgar language and crude behavior, adulterous living, that's in the world. And so the word here tells us don't be conformed to that. You know what? How do we not be conformed to that? Watch and pray. Not watch all that stuff going on, but watch, guard yourself against it. Guard yourself against those things. You're responsible for your mind. You're responsible for your body. God is all for knowledge, but we need to make sure that knowledge is the things of God. Now, is it wrong to get knowledge and education in the world? Of course not. God wants us to be smart. God wants Christians to be the smartest people in the world. God intended for us to be the smartest people out there. But most people don't feed their minds with good things. They feed their minds with trash. And we want to make sure we're not doing that. So we do that by showing up to church. We get fed the Word of God. We hear the Scriptures. We see the Scriptures. Then we take them home and we read them ourselves. And we get in the Word of God ourselves. And we spend time meditating, thinking, reading out loud, reflecting on the Word of God. And this is how you keep the Word of God in your thoughts. You know, I said I had gone to college for lots of years, and I had to take a lot of useless classes. I had to take a lot of classes that I just thought were absolutely foolish, and I had to do them because I had to get them to get the degree. And I think that's foolish. If you've been there, you understand what I mean. One of those classes was the geography of Asia. The geography of Asia. I have not looked at a map of Asia in 15 years. So I got an A in that class, though. Do you know that? How did I get an A in that class? I spent time meditating on that map. I had to know where the rivers were, where the oceans were, where the cities were, where the countries were. I had to know the islands. I had to know it all. And I read it, and I studied it, and I paid attention in class, and I got it in me. And I started, you know, I would take those tests, and I had the answers, and I got an A in that class. I got an A in the geography of Asia. But if you ask me anything right now, I actually went on a map, I'm going to tell you. I went on a map today, and I was looking, I was like, I don't even know what's in Asia. I mean, I know basics, China, Japan. But if you had asked me where, like, Borneo was, I could have told you 15 years ago, but I can't tell you now. And the reason is because I haven't continually fed myself and renewed my mind on the geography of Asia. And I don't want to. I don't want to spend my time doing that. I didn't want to do it then. I had to. But you know what? I wouldn't have passed those tests if I hadn't renewed my mind and meditated on those maps. And you are not going to pass the tests of life if you're not renewing your mind on the Word of God. You won't pass them. You won't have the answers. When the test comes, you will not have the answers. And you're going to be sad. You're going to be hurting. You're going to be failing and defeated, or at least feeling that way for a time. You're going to be begging God to pick you up if you don't get in there and keep it before you all the time. Watch and pray. Spend time talking to God. Spend time in the Word of God. Come to church. Hear the Word of God. Go home. Study the Word of God. Get the knowledge in us, right? Grow and grow in the Word of God. Proverbs 23:7, I'm just going to read it. It says, for as he thinks, so is he. So if we're thinking about something, we're going to act on it. Have you ever heard your thoughts become your actions and your actions become your character? Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, the things you're thinking on, the things you're feeding into your mind, those are the things that you're going to start to act on. And if you act a certain way for a certain amount of time, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Yeah. If you're acting a certain way, it probably is kind of who you are. Yeah. If you keep acting that way, if you keep living that way, that becomes who you are. Right. We want to make sure that we're acting like the Lord. You know, our thoughts destroy our life from the inside out because they become our actions. And we want to be careful about that. So we have to do this. We have to test our thoughts. We have to ask, does it give peace? If it's not a thought that gives me peace, it's not a thought from God. And I'm not thinking on it. So you say, well, I can't control what comes into my mind. Yes, you can. I get a thought that says, I'm not going to be able to pay that bill. Oh, no, this is what happened to us this week. Our washing machine broke. Our washing machine broke, and I could have said, oh, no. And there was a time I would have cried. There was a time I would have been distraught. There was a time I would have freaked out that my washing machine broke, and I have a family of five who needs clean clothes, and it's summertime, and everybody's sweating. Right? I could have cried. I could have gotten all worked up about it, but we were like, well, we're just going to have to go get a new washing machine. Well, praise the Lord, right? That's how you keep your thoughts captive under control. You keep your thoughts with the things of God. My God's my supply. Okay, great, a washing machine broke. Well, if I don't have the money now, I'm going to have it someday. God gets everything I need to me anyway, so I'm going to have a washing machine because that's a thought that gives me peace. You know, we want to make sure that we keep our mind in line with the things of God. You know, you want to test your thoughts. If you start to have anxiety Oh no, what if this happens? Oh no, what if I lose my job? Oh no, what if that illness comes back? Oh no, what if my husband cheats on me? Oh no, my husband won't. Oh no, what if this happens? Oh no, oh no. If you're always thinking things like that, you've got to say, oh no, the word of God is my peace. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my strength. The truth is found in the word. I don't buy that, devil. That's opposite of the word of God. I'm not taking it. I'm not having it. Your mind wants to tell you things that aren't right, but you want to guard them. And actually say it out loud. Talk out loud. I confess that all my needs are supplied for. I confess that I have peace that passes understanding. I confess that I am strengthened. The word of God is my strength. It's my shield. I have power. I don't have a spirit of fear. You just start talking the word. That's how you keep your mind in control. So let's look, lastly, at the third and most vital part of us. That's our spirit. Our spirit realm, the spirit is the one who contacts God, the one who is the true us. Go ahead and look at Hebrews 4:12. Most people don't understand that we have a spirit, that we are a spirit, because all they see is the body and all they understand is the mind. But we truly are a spirit. Even if you are not saved, you're a spirit. God created you as a spirit being. Most people are a lot of people in the world, and this is why we have to tell them that they're a spirit and God has more for them. Yeah. But most people don't understand this because it's beyond human reasoning. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
That's right.
The word of God separates what's our mind and our spirit. See, that's what I was talking about. Your mind will tell you one thing, but what does the word of God say?
That's right.
Because the word of God is the truth, and the word of God is what your spirit needs to rely on. So it takes something sharp to separate our mind from our spirit. So you know that. You know that it takes something strong and powerful and living like the word of God that will help us to understand what's in our mind and what's truly of the spirit. You know, and let me give you an example of this. You know, your mind may say, oh, wow, that job is a really great opportunity. It's going to give me a raise. It's going to give me health benefits. It's going to be, I'm going to work with my friend. Whatever it is, your mind may say, oh, go for it, go for it. But in the inside of you, you have a like, oh, no, I don't know. There's something that says don't do it. I had that happen to me. I had, you know, been working towards being an art teacher, and I had been looking for a job. I had gone through college. I had my degree. I did everything I could do to be an art teacher. And I had a job at a time where I had no job and no money. We were very poor. And a job dropped into my lap. I literally got a phone call that said, hey, you know how you've always wanted to teach middle school art? Here's a job for you. And you just have to come and bring your paperwork and bring your resume, and I've got a job for you. And I get off the phone, and even my husband said, oh, that's awesome. Perfect. Take it. But in my heart, I was like, I can't do it. And I was a baby Christian then, but something told me no. Don't do it. I was even crying. It was, emotionally, I was like, but I want it. But something tells me don't do it. Then I needed the word of God. If there's no peace, it's not of God. And there was no peace, so it wasn't of God.
That's right.
So that's what how we separate, okay? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. And I am getting close to closing here. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? The true us, who we truly are, is the Spirit. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches,
yes,
comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, listen here, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We cannot know God through our bodies. We cannot know God through our minds. We may understand and be able to comprehend the word of God to a point with our mind, but our spirit is what takes us to true revelation and true understanding of the things of God. See, we can't discern the things of God without our spirit being, because that's who we really are. I don't know God apart from my spirit, because God created me as a spirit. That's who I really am. You know, into our mind, into our body, like I said, the spiritual way sometimes seems so foolish. Why would you pass up a job? Now you're going to be poor longer. Now you're going to have to go into more credit card debt because now you don't have money. How are you going to feed your kids if you don't take that job? How are you going to do it? And so I said, Lord, you're going to have to provide. And you know what? For a time, we did go into debt. For a time, we were buying groceries on credit. For a time, we were poor. But the Lord redeemed that time, and he brought us out of it. And he wouldn't have done so. He wouldn't have done so if I walked. I mean, he would have done so. But he wouldn't have been able to do as much if I walked away from him and just followed the flesh, whatever the mind appeased. I don't know why he didn't want me to take that job, but he didn't. So praise the Lord. The Spirit himself, Romans 8:16, you don't have to turn there. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We only know that God is our Father through our spirit. We don't understand that in our mind. How is somebody my father that isn't even here, that I've never seen physically? How? I don't understand that. In our mind, we don't get that. But our spirit bears witness that God is our Father.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm going to have to go here. Proverbs 20, verse 27. We're just, for sake of time, going to pull it up here. Praise the Lord. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The light of our Lord, the light that illuminates our path, that is found in the Spirit. And you say, okay, how do I tap into the Spirit? If you are born again, that still small voice on the inside of you that says, that it doesn't, God talks to us mostly through the voice of peace. So if that still small voice in you says, don't do it, don't do it. Yeah. That's God trying to talk to you, communicate with your spirit. Right. If that, you know, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and I'll try to close with this. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, told us a story, a true story, of this young girl who was going to go to this football game. She was going to go to this football game with a group of friends. She had bought the tickets. It was all planned. They took the time off of work, everything they needed to do to get to that football game. And so she's on her way to go, and it's the day of, and her friends come and get her. And something on the inside of her, the still small voice, the Holy Spirit bearing witness in her spirit, no, don't do it. Don't go. Now, she could have said to her friends, or she could have said, I got to go with my friends. They're expecting me to be there. I chipped in. I already paid for the ticket. I maybe even worked like a week to pay for this trip. I maybe even worked 6 months to pay for this trip. How can I say no? How can I disappoint my friends? But she obeyed. Praise the Lord, she obeyed. Because on that trip, that car crashed, and all of her friends died in that car crash. And she would have been there right with them, right with them, had she not obeyed the voice of God. Now, my husband and I, we were purchasing a vehicle. He needed a new vehicle, and we were purchasing it, and we had the loan, and we had everything ready to go buy this vehicle. And on the way there, my husband had a lack of peace in his spirit. Uh-oh, something's not right about this. But we had the check in hand, we had the loan all ready, and they had the car prepared for us. And so instead of obeying the voice of God, I'm not telling on him, he shares this story too. Instead of obeying the voice of God, the Holy Spirit inside of his spirit, instead of obeying that voice, he decided we're going to go along with it anyway. And guess what? 5,000 miles later, the engine blew up and that car was useless. $7,000 in debt that we had to figure out a way to pay back. Well, God redeemed our time and he helped us to pay that off, but it took a while. We went without for a while. We could have had something better if we would have waited. We could have had something better sooner. So we want to make sure that we're obeying the voice of the Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
One last scripture for you here. One last scripture.
So good, love.
Praise God. I love this. Let me get to one last scripture. Oh, boy, am I telling the truth here? Two last scriptures. Job 32:8, just pull up here. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. God created us. He breathed life into us. The scripture says he breathed life into us. He put a spirit in this body. And that is the part of us that gives us understanding. We understand the Word of God. We understand this world. We understand our direction. We understand the plan He has for us. We understand good and bad. We understand right and wrong. We understand everything we need to do through the breath that is in us, the Spirit that is in us, the Spirit in us, in this temple. Praise the Lord. And this is how you make sure that you're following the voice of the Spirit. Colossians 3:15, we're ending here. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Know the leading of the Spirit if there's peace. If there's no peace, it's not of God. That is the simplest way to follow the Holy Spirit with your spirit, is to know the voice of peace. If you don't have peace, you don't do it. If you get the sick feeling, don't do it. Don't do it. Say no. Just say no, right? So we feed our spirit. We don't feed our minds more than our spirit. We don't feed our body more than our spirit. We want the body and the mind to be less than. We want the spirit of us to grow and grow and grow and become dominant, right? Praise the Lord.